This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
And thanks for being here this afternoon. We cover a lot of different things, talk to a lot of different folks around the area and beyond. And Justin Shandor with us now, the world's leading Elvis impersonator, going to be in concert tonight at Music Off Central in Sutherland. He is headed south right now. Justin, thanks for being on.
Hey, it's good to be on. Thanks for having me. How you been?
Doing very good. It's a busy summertime. I know you've been very busy, and I'm curious.
Oh, busy summer.
Yeah, I'm curious about.
It's a busy summer, and it's a hot summer too. It's ridiculous, isn't it?
Well, I love it. Yeah, no, I've actually been enjoying the super warm weather, but not everybody's on the same page with me on that one. So I'm.
I know what you mean.
Talk to me about how you got into doing this kind of work.
Well, I started out when I was about 16 years old. I was I was living in Las Vegas, and my parents, a little bit of a sad story, but my parents got, you know, went through a divorce, and my mom went to Las Vegas. And I was 16 years old, and I was an Elvis fan, and I started realizing there was a lot of good, you know, Elvis impersonators and tribute artists around town, you know, all doing the older guy, the older Elvis. And so I was like, yeah, I'm gonna give this a little try. So my mom got me an audition. Out of all fighting, my mom made it happen. Got me an audition at a place called the Elvis-O-Rama, and the guy hired me on the spot. He had me working 9 shows a day, actually, at 16 years old. And I also had 2 shows on the Strip I was doing too. You know, probably like one of the youngest performers to headline on the Strip, besides Wayne Newton.
Wow, that's an amazing beginning. I imagine that you had probably been a longtime Elvis fan.
I started becoming an Elvis fan around 8 or 9 years old. My mom bought my dad a perfume set. I don't know if you remember, the clone had a cassette tape with it, and I took the cassette tape and I just listened to Elvis's voice. And the first time I heard Elvis's voice, I was like kind of in shock because I never heard nothing like that. I mean, my dad was a musician. I heard a lot of jazz and R&B and stuff like that growing up. But when I first heard Elvis, right off the bat, back then, I was intrigued by his voice. That it sounded unlike anything I ever heard. Still does.
Wow. So you mentioned your father being a musician. Did you ever think about a more traditional route as an entertainer?
Me? Well, of course, I still do other things besides Elvis, too. I'm performing on a cruise ship. Before I got here, I'm doing 4 shows a day there, and I'm doing myself all the other shows, and I'm just doing Elvis at the end of the week. But I've been a piano player since a young man as well. So my forte besides Elvis is jazz.
Wow, that's kind of interesting to know. I'm curious if you ever get in the middle of a show and forget which show you're doing.
It's kind of hard to get out of the Elvis mood when you got that jumpsuit on as Elvis. You know, you feel like Superman. So it's hard to. I mean, anybody can put an Elvis jumpsuit on. I guarantee your lips gonna curl and you're gonna end up singing Heartbreak Hotel. So it's hard to step out of that character when you're Elvis on stage.
So you were in your teens when you got started. How long ago was that?
I was 16 years old. Let's see. I'm giving away my age right now, but I'm 39 now, and I started when I was 15, going on 16.
Wow! And this is really taking you all over the place. You've gotten to travel a lot of places, see a lot of things. I imagine it's pretty fun stuff.
Oh yeah, it's been amazing. I've been very blessed. I just finished up a few months ago. I finished up a tour in Australia. I was over in Fiji, Germany, Hungary, Sweden, Australia, let's see, the New Zealand, Malaysia. Yeah.
Wow, all over the...
Everywhere.
Now, of course, during the pandemic, you probably had a bit of a break.
I had a little bit of a break, and during the pandemic, I went out to... I found a little way to get up to Europe, and I spent some time up there, and... I realized that Elvis is very big over there. I was in Hungary for about 3 months, and I loved it. I mean, everywhere you go, it's people notice me more over there too. That's a crazy following, you know, social media, and it's all over the world. But in Europe, the people love Elvis over there, it's because they never had him. You know, they never got Elvis. So when they hear the music, it's like it's brand new. It's like Elvis is Justin Bieber over there.
Interesting. Now, of all the places you've traveled, I know that you've also done a lot of television. Talk about some of that.
Oh, yeah. We did David Letterman when I won the Ultimate Elvis in 2010. David, a couple years later, he started inviting. There's only a handful of the Ultimate Elvis guys who are actually endorsed by Graceland. And so I got an opportunity to be musical guest on David Letterman. I'm working on some other stuff as well. But, yeah, that's one of the things I've done.
And as you travel around, do you ever, and maybe this is like a counterintuitive question, but do you ever get tired of doing Elvis music?
Not really. It's there's so many songs Elvis did. Elvis did like 739 songs. So I sometimes change it up for the show. No, I never get tired of performing, no matter what it is. If I'm doing Elvis, if I'm doing Stevie Wonder, Paul Anka, any kind of music, Tom Jones music, I don't get tired of music. I love music.
One of the things about the Elvis era was that back then you had a lot of songs that compared to now were about half as long. You had a lot of these two-minute songs, two-and-a-half-minute songs. Most things on radio now are four and a half minutes long. Is that ever wear you out a bit of it as a performer?
Doesn't really wear me out. No, I can always find other songs to do. But, of course, you know, people come into the show, I want to make them happy. And a lot of people, they like the hits. You know, they like Hound Dog, Blue Suede Shoes, In the Ghetto, Jailhouse Rock, Suspicious Minds. So you have to do them. Even Elvis had to do them. I'm sure they wore Elvis out, but, you know, he was doing them a little longer than I was. But I just enjoy them.
So you said 739 songs?
Elvis recorded that many songs. Mm-hmm.
Wow, that is that's amazing. I didn't realize the number was quite that high. A prolific career and obviously an impact on a lot of other musicians. As you've been doing this, I imagine you've spent time looking, doing reading about Elvis. What are some of the interesting things you've found out about him over the years?
Well, the most interesting thing that is about Elvis is he really wasn't just one genre of music, not just one style. They call him the king of rock and roll. But the reason Elvis impacts so many musicians and people around the world is because he didn't have a style. He recorded everything from rock and roll, country, blues, opera, Domenico style music, everything. Elvis recorded every style of music. And he reached so many hearts and so many styles and so many musicians. He created their own style. If it wasn't for Elvis, there'd be nothing, you know, as John Lennon once said. And even James Brown, he said, you know, Elvis Presley taught white America how to get down. So, yeah, Elvis was very special in that way. That's what I realized, is that he reached everybody.
Yeah, during that era and during the, you know, Elvis's big years, of course, I was not around yet at all, believe me, though some may doubt that. But the music really was, you had performers that did a lot of different genres. It was later on into the 60s, into the 70s in particular, where you were either a rock artist or you were now a country artist, and people stayed in their segments. Though now it seems like there's even a shift on that, and you see a lot of artists back in multiple genres. What have you noticed?
Yeah, that's really a great artist can do any kind of style. But, you know, back in the old day, the record companies, they wanted you to have a style. They wanted to be able to, you know, to categorize you. When they were selling your records, I mean, it was either the rock section, the jazz section, the country section. But nowadays, you have social media. We don't need a record label anymore. And you have social media, and you have followers who just fall in love with the performer and the music and the art that the artist is making, no matter what style it is.
So when people come to see you, talk about, in fact, what are folks going to see tonight in Sutherland?
Well, we're going to try to recreate some of the nostalgia that Elvis brought in his live concerts. And we get live music. Of course, we've got a great live band for you. Got the full band coming up. And you're going to be able to see something that is, well, not particularly dying. You'll be able to see something that you haven't seen in quite a while. An old school 1970s live concert. Bell bottoms, jewelry, long hair, sideburns. It's going to be fun.
So where do you procure all the things that you wear in an Elvis concert?
You got to get this stuff made. You got to find very, very good tailors and artists and guys who have time to embellish these garments and make them really, really fancy. And they ain't cheap, I tell you that.
Yeah, no, I imagine that's the case. Plus, now, do you, in the course of a show, are you wearing the same outfit all night, or are there times that you shift into other clothes during the course of the show?
Well, I don't do no intermissions, and I mean, once I get up there, I stay up there. So, you didn't tell me that. Okay. Well, I guess I'm gonna take a little break, and Jamie's gonna come up and do something during the show. But if the jumpsuit, well, we're playing outside. If the jumpsuit gets too wet, I'm gonna have to change.
Yeah, and talk about playing outside shows in the summer. What do you like about those? Maybe things that are different than playing a stadium or a venue inside during the fall or winter or spring.
Well, I like to sweat. I like to you know, get working. It's very healthy to sweat. But I feel bad for the guitar player because his guitar players end up, you know, when you got a guitar outside, you got to keep tuning that thing. So we're going to have to deal with that. He's sitting next to me. So we're laughing about that.
So how many folks are in your band?
How many piece band we got on this one, Jamie? I forget. Let's see. We have piano, bass, guitar, drums. We got three backup singers. So we got a 9-piece.
Wow. That's going to be quite a show then.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be awesome. A great band, good musicians. We all have a lot of fun, a lot of heart. We all laugh together. We've known each other for many years. So Jamie says actually a 10-piece now.
Wow.
Just what do you bring in, brother?
Just getting bigger. As you cruise around during the summertime, are you, I know that you play different size venues. What's the differences for you, whether it's a big crowd or a small, more intimate group?
I love the small, intimate crowds. We have a lot of fun, a lot more fun. We make jokes. We have a good time. But the bigger crowds, I love that as well, because the bigger crowds, you look around, everybody's listening. Everybody's paying attention. Everybody's into the music. But with the smaller crowds, I like to come off the stage. I feel a little more safe, and I could, just interact a lot more easily with the smaller crowd. So for me, it doesn't make a difference. I have fun in a big crowd or a small crowd.
And talk about, as you are doing recordings, all the technology that is available out there in the last 10 years in particular really probably gives you an opportunity to mix things differently and create, while it's an Elvis sound, to create it a bit differently.
Well, yeah. Well, when I record, I'm actually doing my own original stuff. I love using, you know, the Pro Tools and GarageBand and stuff like that now, because it sounds just as good as when you would go to like Capitol Records or major studios these days. And our music today has changed a lot. You hear guys like Weeknd and stuff like that, and Maxwell, and it's all artistic. A lot of this stuff is created on small computers, and it's just the technology we have. You push a button, we get a whole new sound. So many different reverbs, so many different gates, what they use for the microphones, different sounding musical equipment. Yeah, you can be very artistic on the equipment that we have today, and I love it. I think the Beatles, John Lennon would have had a ball in a studio with the stuff we have today.
So what about artificial intelligence? How does that tie into some of the things that might happen with your music down the road here?
Oh, I don't let it interfere. Everything I make at home, I make sure it's mixed by me, and I really don't know what artificial intelligence is right now. I mean, it keeps changing, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's a good point. It really, really is hard to figure out, but I know it's probably going to have an impact in the music business. What do you see down the road for what you have planned to do in the next few years?
Honestly, I would like to become an actor. I've already been looking into some things and some TV shows and a special that might be on Tubi TV. And that's what I think I want to pursue. I'm pretty good at that, actually. I've been doing that for quite a little while. When I was in Million Dollar Quartet for about 5 years, that was a Broadway show. I did some acting in that, and that kind of inspired me a little bit. So that might be my next step after the Elvis dream has been lived.
Well, but you know, and it's interesting, though it's been a few generations, Elvis seems just as popular now as he was back in the day.
Oh, I think he's even more popular now. It's crazy. I've seen a lot of younger people, a lot of young faces in the audience at a show we did yesterday in Lake Oswego. A lot of teenagers coming out to see the shows because ever since that movie came out, you know, Austin Butler and Baz Luhrmann, they really helped, you know, bring Elvis back in style.
Justin Chandor, America's, the world's leading Elvis impersonator tonight. Music off Central in Sutherland, 7 o'clock that gets started. You want to say anything to encourage people to come out if they're still kind of on the fence about whether they come out tonight?
Guys, if you're Elvis fans, you got to come out and see this show. This show is amazing, and we'll create that same nostalgia and the same feel of what it was like to hear and see Elvis. If you're not an Elvis fan, you're going to enjoy it anyway. You're going to enjoy a great band, great music. A lot of beautiful faces going to be there. A lot of happy hearts. And we're just going to have a great time. Come out and see us.
All right, Justin, thanks for being on with us today. We're going to play one of the songs as we go, but folks will look forward to the concert tonight. Thanks for being on.
Thanks, guys. That's all. Keep Elvis in memory alive. Thanks for having me.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog crying all the time.
Justin Chandor, the world's leading Elvis impersonator, playing music off Central tonight, 7 o'clock in Sutherland. That wraps up Inside Douglas County for today. 1255 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside. inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.